The story, I think the first part, just put its little thing in there about some guy or girl in Asia. I mean, we should locate this story to Asia a lot. Well, we start there in New York, and because that's what we just did so far. But then, whoops, we are over in Asia, and it could be we're following the members of the Awares, so we get some kind of team there that is spread all across the world. So our Asian guy, who may also have an important role here, like our Mia, whatever she will be. He sits there at home or whatever in a small little company that he's running with a couple of friends. Just a cheap space they're renting in some Beijing suburb or so. And they are working on a product. They're young, innovative, and they are thinking up a real good power bank, for instance. I'm just looking at one. And the guy's thinking, sitting there, oh, they are just normally primitive batteries, and we can make it much better and much more long-lasting. And look here, a nice little display showing the time percentage left and the watts and the volts. And can you make a cool design? And another guy there was like in that department. They are like the Apple guys were when they just started. So that's where we meet our guy. And then we follow them a little bit, because that's how many young, smart kids, you could say, are doing there. Not only in Beijing, but all over China. Big cities there that have grown up. And there's this creative, stimulated, how to say, creatively stimulating atmosphere that has, well, been built up in that country. Because that's normal. Just like you could liken it to the USA in the 80s. All these innovative people there in their homes, and they're always there. But then in the West, they're just getting bought up, purchased by huge corporations, who then generally just do it so that they get monopoly on that product. They basically steal the product. Maybe don't even sell it, but so it doesn't compete with their products. So in this way, they kind of suffocate all of these, who then just get sucked up into these huge corporations. And the creativeness stops, because it's not run anymore from the ground up, from ideas that someone is really enthusiastically building up, or a team or so. But it has to come from the top there. And what do the top guys and girls say? Well, you know, We only invest in that which can give return on investment good. We want to play on safe cards. The economy is not very good now, and so on. So we can show that the declining empire in the West, because this is what's happening there. And they are having fun making money on the stock market and that kind of those kind of places, just money from nothing, really. So, but back there to the East, there we find now these. And we find a government, or several governments, who are smart, who are old cultures, building on thousands of years of experience, and are not, how to say, who haven't really slipped into that modern Western materialism to that extent. They are still building on their old wisdom cultures of India, their Mahabharata and so on, the Ramayana. And in China, the Tao, the Confucius, and all these writings from thousands of years back, which now the intellectuals are studying, and the leaders may have, and actually do have to some extent, because this is where it stands and falls, really, the intelligence to see and appreciate the importance of that collected wisdom of their entire history. And they encourage and support the intellectuals, the academic communities. They are encouraging not only computer technology and programmers and so on, but of course them too. They are encouraging, they're putting a lot of resources into education. And since they do that, they are pumping out very smart. And, you know, otherwise, if you don't have money, or if education is just something very expensive, if you want, you know, to, well, that's how it becomes, just get a degree, because then you can get a good job. But if you want to really learn deeply something, then if it is just something you yourself have to pay, it gets very, very expensive for a young person. So in these countries, well, in the one where I am now, so it's not fiction here, the government, they sponsor, tax money and so on, education. And that's not wasted capital, because what you get then is a large resource of people with real knowledge, actually smart. Because there are many such smart kids out there, but they may not get support for education. But so they take advantage of all these resources of smartness, so to speak. So we can show all this. And it's done in that way that, yeah, these kids then also sit there in their basements or whatever and invent They've got help to learn. And of course, now they can learn on their own because they have the internet. So it's really just about creating a stimulating atmosphere. Just as I saw a documentary about, I'm just adding whatever comes into my mind, about the music industry in Sweden, which has became world leading, more or less, at least world respected, because the government put money into educations for young people in music. It was easy to get. When I was young, it was not. So then it gives results. So whatever you support, you will get, can reap the benefits from. So anyway, that's just the theory behind the story behind this. But we are in this place there, and they are inventing little things. So they came up now with this. I just took that because I happened to buy one today. Power bank. And you see drawings there on the wall, and these kids hanging there in front of their computers and papers on the tables, and cool kids, Chinese, they look pretty cool nowadays. And then they're going to get visited by some investor or whatever. Who comes in there, suit, guy or woman, probably both, lawyer and everything. And they look there. And they are very smart also. And they get one, of course, each, so that they can test. Or maybe they have already done that, so we get this going. And they say, yeah, we tested, it's really good. And it looks good, and it's good quality. So we go for this. And they just sign them up, an agreement, and these guys are all of a sudden sitting there with a company that just got millions and millions of investment, and basically, because there are these big, big industries that produce all these things, so they just feed it into their machinery, program their robots. I mean, it's just so highly developed. And then this thing comes out the other end. And I mean, these guys, girls who invented it, they get a good amount of money for it. Or even they can have a little royalty on the sales of it. That kind of straight, old-fashioned deals. So this way they are living good. They're not super multi-billionaires. Who needs to be that anyway? But they have, you know, our guy has a nice apartment there in the suburb of Beijing, next to a park there with his wife and kids and friends. They are going out like that and having a good time together, as young people do. And they're vegetarians, they are Buddhists. They go to Buddhist restaurants, and they can really enjoy life, and they know how to enjoy life. And I can just show this from my direct experience. I have videos even from such restaurants there in Beijing where we used to hang and enjoy life, and the other people too. So we can show this now, not some fiction, but really show how it is over there in China. It's a good opportunity. So yeah, and how these Chinese people, these young Chinese people, how they see the people in the West, the Westerners,
all this, you know, how they used in the old days think that they were some robots, or they looked so stiff and mechanic, and the big noses, they called them big noses, and they thought they were blind because the eyes were so strangely blue. So we can just tell all this. And then we have the Chinese story also into this. Phew.